on News Radio 840 WHAS. We love talking to various folks from around the state. Let's go to Hardin County, Kentucky. At least I'm guessing that's where you are today, because he's Kentucky's NAACP president, Marcus Ray. Marcus, good to talk to you again.
Oh, absolutely. Glad to be here.
As always, you were elected president in September of last year?
Yes, sir. That's correct.
Well, congratulations on that, that's for sure. I just wanted to get your thoughts on what you've seen in terms of the protest. After the announcement came out yesterday from the grand jury through Daniel Cameron, as president of the Kentucky NAACP, National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, I want to hear your thoughts, your impressions on the decision that was released.
Well, you know, first, we weren't surprised by the decision because that's been the history of how these things have unfolded across the country. And when they do manage to get charged, they're often found not guilty. So I wasn't surprised that was how it came out. I was surprised that Mr. Hankinson was charged with pre-counsel warrant endangerment that didn't involve Ms. Taylor or Mr. Walker. I think that was a slap in the face to the whole investigation, especially when there was supposed to be so much care and time and effort taken to ensure that this thing was done right. And just to come up with the idea that they endangered some other people doesn't have anything to talk about the innocence of Ms. Taylor in that situation. And so, you know, we're very saddened that they didn't even consider charging him with anything in relation to Ms. Taylor. And I think, you know, we see that for what it is. I think it was to attempt to placate us by saying we did charge someone, but as we get into it, we find out that was because of the people in the apartment next door. And so that's just frustrating that they would take that route.
Probably a legal strategy involved in that as well for LMPD because their officers shot. However, everyone, all parties involved agree that Kenneth Walker shot first. Well, not all parties agree because Breonna Taylor's dead. But all parties other than Breonna Taylor agree that Kenneth Walker shot first and that rules of engagement allow the police to return fire. That's essentially what Daniel Cameron was saying yesterday. So I'm guessing that this is a strategy that has to do with defending LMPD's right to return fire.
And what? At one time, I understand exactly, you know, how that situation could have unfolded. You know, and they were both right, given the circumstances that they were in at the time. And so I fully understand that. But we're talking about an innocent person in the middle of that, and there should be at some point responsibility for the innocent people involved. And so while they may be defending the strategy of LMPD to return fire, what they also said that day was that it doesn't really matter who else is involved. If we return fire and you get hit, shame on you for having close by. And so what would we be talking about if the bullet that went through the wall hit one of the people next door that were off?
Yeah, good point. And other people are saying, wait a minute, you're talking about this one apartment with three white occupants, and there were other apartments that contained people of color, and you didn't say that, or you didn't lodge a charge of wanton endangerment on behalf of those lives. So that does certainly leaves a head-scratching moment there, too. Why only three wanton endangerment charges?
Well, you know, that really doesn't register on my scale. You know, I think that comes to, you have to figure out how many apartments the bullet traveled through and then, you know, how many people's lives are actually in danger. And so there's several things that probably went into determining why there was only those three, and they just happened to be white. So I don't place any real value on the fact that that's the case. That, to me, is just something to stir the pot about something that's nothing.
Well, Ben Crump has certainly been bringing up that point over and over again. And by the way, Ben Crump, the attorney for Breonna Taylor's estate, one of the attorneys for the estate, is having a conference tomorrow at Jefferson Square Park, 10:30 in the morning. So he's still wanting to make public statements, so he has more to say, and he said there's more information to be released. We'll find out about that. And Marcus, I'd like to get your impression of what you saw happening in Louisville last night in terms of the response of people taking to the streets.
Well, Well, you know, I think anytime you look at rioting, you have to determine what the root cause of that is. And I think in this instance, just like in 92 with Rodney King and 1776 with the Tea Party and everything else, is people are frustrated because they're not being heard. And this country has had a history of rioting, right? We started this country with riots with the Boston Tea Party and the Revolution, and so we shouldn't be surprised that the people who aren't being heard that have no other option than to riot. Now, I'm not in favor of it, but I do understand it because we aren't listening. As a country, we aren't listening. We have been talking about the unarmed black man, black woman being killed by police. And every time that happens, someone wants to say to me or someone else, what about what's happening in Chicago? Or what about what's happening in Louisville? Those two things, while aren't specifically related, don't go to the deeper issue. And the issue for me is always going to be, in relation to what's happening in Chicago and places like that, is what is it about the self-esteem that makes it so low that a person is willing to kill another person for disrespecting them by bumping into them on the street or whatever the case might be. So we have to ask that question to solve the issue or to begin to solve the issue when we talk about what's going on in Chicago and places like that. In relation to the killing of unarmed black men and women, you see, that's a different matter that's being triggered by a different series of events. And, you know, I don't get into history and going all the way back to the systemic piece of it, but the propaganda that was needed to start this country, right? Now, we were founded on the principle that all men are going to be free, at the same time holding a whole demographic of people in bondage. So there had to be some type of propaganda today about being subhuman and being less than and being able to do things to them. And while not all policemen have that attitude, some of them don't realize it because they grew up with it and it's invisible to them. And so I think those are two very different things, and we have to figure out how to address both of them simultaneously.
Interesting. One other thing to note, too, the First Amendment, you know, of course, covers the freedom of religion, freedom of speech and press, media, freedom to peaceably assemble and to petition the government. But one thing it doesn't say is your First Amendment rights are only valid during daylight. So when they put a curfew in place at 9 o'clock, is that fair, or should people be allowed to protest through the night?
Well, you know, to me, I believe it's fair because the Constitution also talks about promoting the general welfare. And so when we talk about promoting the general welfare, we have to be thinking about all people involved. And so while that might be a First Amendment right, I believe that the general welfare would trump that in some instances because we have to be concerned about everybody's welfare, not just your right to protest and to do it peacefully all night long.
Marcus, great talking with you again. I really appreciate your thoughts.
Oh, absolutely. Anytime. Thank you.
Thank you. Marcus Reyes, president of Kentucky's NAACP.